Okay, so last time we started talking about Gemilas Chasadim, and we saw that even textually in the Parsha in Kedoshim, it's a portal and a gateway to all areas of Ben Adam Lechavero, and as Hillel reminded that Ger, all areas of Avodas Hashem, because the Ger wanted that quick transitional experience to accelerate the process of conversion, and Hillel suggested Chesed. We spoke about how at some level Hillel probably derived this from Rus, to whom he was related, whose entry point, at least the way the Megillas Rus describes it, is not halachic, but moral compassion and sympathy for her dying and elderly mother-in-law. We suggested very briefly that Avram Avinu sensed this in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and his discovery of Hashem was driven by moral impulse, not by science and astronomy. I want to discuss today two other reasons that a person should be performing chesed. And again, I want to preface what I'm saying. I don't know if I said this to you last week, and if I did, I apologize. I forget who I'm speaking what to, or what I'm speaking who to. But I've been having a lot of conversations with boys as they're leaving and as they're going to camps, and they're asking me the following question. I'm not going to be an Oved Hashem in camp. I'm not going to be learning. I'm not going to be davening. What does it mean to be an Oved Hashem? So my answer very often, and it's microcosm of life, not just of camp, you say, well, tell me, were you a counselor last year? And they said, yeah, I was a counselor last year. I said, well, were you a good counselor? Did you work hard? Did you try to inspire the boys and the campers? Did you? They said, yeah, we did. I said, why? He said, I was a 12th grader last year. I was a good person. I listened to instructions. I wanted to please people. I'm dutiful. I said, well, how about in 2018, be as good a counselor as you were in 2017, but do it now because you're an Oved Hashem. And therefore, here's your chance to inspire younger people to religion. Here's a chance to work hard for larger communities. And in many ways, it's a microcosm, because very often when you think about Avodas Hashem and religion, you say, well, I've got to be something else, and I've got to find some other identity. I've got to find something else, some new mountain to climb. Very often, excellence in Avodas Hashem is just basically doing what you do anyway, but creating a new motivation and a different framework and articulating it to yourself differently. And I think that with chesed, it's very true. I think everyone in this room has been involved in chesed and will be involved in chesed. It's not like all of a sudden you're going to walk out of this room, let's say as you walked out of the room with tefillah, wow, those are some new ideas I hadn't thought of before. Or Talmud Torah, I didn't realize how important it is. If you don't learn Torah, you're not considered for all of a sudden new. I think we're saying here is new to you, but now that you have sources and you see it as part of Avodas Hashem, so now the next time you help someone out, you say, well, why am I doing this? And what do I hope to accomplish as an Oved Hashem? And what are the different layers that can affect me? So this is not revolutionary, but hopefully it's creating a contextualization that will help you incorporate into your Avodas Hashem. So obviously the first reason you help people is because you're a compassionate person, and compassion and menschlichkeit are at the core of religious identity. And if you're a compassionate and menschlichtig person, and you're a good friend, and you're loyal, as we discussed last time, then you'll be loyal to Hashem. And that will ultimately yield a religious commitment and religious obedience. And that has to be the first. I remember a long, long time ago, before any of you in this room were born, I was interviewing a boy in the school for admissions to the yeshiva. And I always ask on an interview, tell me about your chesed. What chesed do you do? What chesed are you involved in? And more often than not, Baruch Hashem, boys who I'm interviewing have some, I do this, I do that, I'm involved in this, I'm involved in that. And I said, well, tell me, why do you do chesed? Now, do you know there are about 1,000 correct answers to that question. Why do you do chesed? You only have to do a smile. I mean, it's obvious. Why should I do chesed? This boy picked the one wrong answer. And I checked up with his principal because it really bothered me. And the principal said, you're right. You picked up on something general, not just in this one isolated answer. He said, well, thank God I come from a very wealthy family and we're well-to-do and we're self-sufficient. But who knows? Fortunes change and what comes around goes around. And one day my family may be less resource, and we'll have to take from public resources. So I have to give now that we have more. So one day if we're horrified. You're involved in chesed as some long-term financial strategy so that one day you can be compensated in a time of need. And the real answer is if someone ever asks you, why do you do chesed, is not about today's share. The first reason you do chesed is because you see someone suffering. You want to alleviate their stress and their suffering. It has to start with compassion. It has to be human. But I don't think it should end there. But I want to make it clear that I'm creating a chronology and a sequence. It has to begin there. It can't begin with some ideological issue that I'll discuss in a few minutes. It has to be personal. It has to be that your heart is open to other people's suffering, that you feel people's distress, and you want to try to solve it. But beyond that, it also entails not Rabbi Akiva's pasuk, but Ben Azai's pasuk. Source number two. V'yavta l'recha kamocha, Rabbi Akiva omer zeh klal galo batar. Ben Azai omer, zeh sefer toldos adam. A totally different pasuk, which I quoted to you, source five. Zeh sefer toldos adam, b'yom b'ra l'kim adam, b'tmos l'kim asasa. Why is Ben Azai competing with Rabbi Akiva? What does Ben Azai's pasuk add that Rabbi Akiva's pasuk doesn't? The answer is that Ben Azai's pasuk describes man as being built in the image of Hashem. And we're not discussing exactly what that phrase means with Musa Elokim or Tzelem Elokim, but it means everything that separates you and a tree. Everything that separates you and an animal. A tree doesn't have mobility, an animal does. But you have consciousness and an animal doesn't. You have emotions and animals don't. You have dreams. You have sophisticated communication. You have freedom of choice. Everything that you have that an animal doesn't, that's Tzelem Elokim. Human intelligence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the universe and placed you at the pinnacle of the universe. That creates responsibility just as it creates privilege. We aren't environmentalists because we have to protect the environment against human beings. Hashem wants the environment to serve human beings. This entire universe is meant to serve you as the apogee of this entire world, this entire universe. You're not equal to an ape. You're not equal to a whale. On the other hand, this is Hashem's universe, and you have to manage it properly and use it respectfully and balance it out. So we are environmentalists because we're custodians. We're placed at that position to be responsible for this world, not to be subservient or secondary or equal to this world, but to be responsible for this world because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's masterpiece. So we are environmentalists because we bear responsibility. So you're at the pinnacle of creation, and your power and faculties and potential is endless. And when you suffer, I'm not saying you point to anyone in this room, but when a person with that potential suffers, this is a divine tragedy. A person with so much God-given opportunity, and every human being has that Tzelem Elokim, and this world strips them of that potential and tarnishes that Tzelem Elokim and reduces that Tzelem Elokim to more limited confines because you don't have enough of, or you're suffering because of, or you're struggling because of, whatever struggles, limitations, and constraints you're facing, that's a divine limitation. That's the world barrying or creating a barrier to the expression of Hashem Tzelem Elokim. And when you intervene and provide chesed, you're restoring a person's Tzelem Elokim. And that's what Ben Azai was trying to describe. It's not just that I see a woman suffering and I see a beggar suffering and I see someone being exploited and I say, wow, my heart goes out to that person because human beings are miserable when they suffer. I also realize there's something larger happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates potential, and the world of reality is crushing that potential. And I have a divine responsibility to intervene and be a partner with Hashem and restore that potential by alleviating the limitations and the barriers to this expression. Again, I don't think that should be your first instinct. Your first instinct has to be commiseration, sympathy, compassion, or else you're just a robot. You can't ideological, not everything's ideological. But there are times that this is a very deep enricher of why you do chesed. And if you're attuned to this, oh, that person really needs Hashem, so to speak, needs your help. When you're a Baal Chesed in this tone, you're essentially helping Hashem out. Because Hashem endowed potential, which is now being wasted, which is now being squandered. And it's generally, it's helpful to see yourself in those terms. I remember when Rav Lichtenstein would speak with us about wasting time or laziness or lack of commitment, he felt it was a betrayal of Hashem. It's a betrayal of Hashem. It's morally weak. It's cowardly. No, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusted you with something, and you're just not using it. You're just wasting it. You're not using the potential HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered, and that's betraying. If I gave you something, I said, please get back to me. And you didn't give it back to me. It'd be a personal betrayal. So it's helpful to think of those terms about yourself, let alone other people. And of course, the nafkaminas, we like to say, now that you've been here for a couple of months, you appreciate that every question is only as powerful as the nafkaminas. What's a nafkamina? Whether I perform chesed based on Rabbi Akiva's baseline of compassion or Ben Azai's recognition of deprived Tzelem Elokim, first of all, the motivation is different, but in real terms, there are two beneficiaries of chesed that may not be included in Rabbi Akiva's orbit, but is certainly part of Ben Azai's constellation. One is a Gentile. When Rabbi Akiva speaks about chesed, he speaks of v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. Recha literally means a friend, but Chazal interpret this to mean your community, people who have common alignment of ideas, part of the same historical community. So ve'avta l'recha kamocha only applies to a Jew. It does not apply to a non-Jew. But b'dmus elokim asalsa, every human being has tzelem elokim, even the worst criminal. You also have the freedom of choice to pollute your tzelem elokim and to contaminate it and to waste it and to pervert it, distort it. But in theory, the chiyav of tzelem elokim and b'dmus elokim extends universally. And that's why Jews have to perform chesed whenever it appears and emerges. Now, one can make the claim, and I certainly believe in this claim, that by and large, as a general rule of thumb, we should invest massively within our internal chesed opportunities, especially, not just in general, because people closer to you are more deserving of your compassion, but even especially in today's stage of history where we're rebuilding Judaism. Remember, you feel as if you're growing up in a vibrant world of Judaism. We're still on the rebound, right? In the year 1940, there were 18 million Jews in the world, I think. 18 million, 16 million. Today, there are 4 million less. So we lost 6 million Jews, and we're slowly recovering, but we haven't reached the levels of pre-war, and it can't just be measured by quantifiable population numbers. It's settling the land of Israel, rebuilding Jewish communities, rebuilding religious fervor. There's a lot that we have to rebuild. And if you one day become very, very wealthy, whatever monies you give, you say, well, I could support local homeless shelters, or I could build a yeshiva in Israel, or I can build a hospital in Israel, or I can build a mikveh in Glen Hazel. Or I certainly feel that your focus has to be, at this point, much more laser-tuned to Jewish needs. But there are exceptions, and people that decide they're going to strike out and try to change the broader world, or there's certain people that feel that along with a predominantly overwhelming responsibilities internally, they at least want to be aware of local needs. I certainly would recommend that you be aware of local needs. One day you'll be on a shul board or a Jewish organizational board. If there'll be monies that are allocated to the degree that it's possible, depending upon needs and opportunities, your civic responsibilities to support local charities, to create general welfare and general improvement of society. Again, I think the percentages should be vastly, vastly lopsided, but it's just you share the planet with the entire human race and you live alongside of other people in the communities. You should be involved in their welfare and their betterment as well. And then there's a second person that's a beneficiary of chesed, according to Ben Azai, who isn't the beneficiary of chesed, according to Rabbi Akiva. You're not going to really understand this for many, 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 many years. If I were teaching women, they'd probably understand it a lot earlier. But store it away. For some of you, it may be relevant more quickly or more rapidly than for others. So let me tell you a story. I'll paraphrase source number 7. You can look at source number 7, but I want to paraphrase it for you. Hillel was once walking home. And the Talmidim asked him, the same Hillel who told the Ger, V'hafta l'recha kamocha. And the Talmidim asked him, Hillel, where are you going? He says, I'm going to perform chesed. So they probably assumed he was going to rescue some kittens from trees or chop wood for old ladies. And they saw he went to the gym, effectively the gym. He went to a bathhouse, but he went to the Beis HaMerchatz. He went to work out. And they said, Rebbe, you lied to us. He said, you're performing a chesed. He said, what, and chesed doesn't apply to yourself? I have this body, and the health of my body will directly affect the health of my spirit, because for the amount of time I inhabit this earth, the two are melded to one another, two are welded to each other, right? This isn't me. Touch your hands, everyone. Touch your hair. Touch your skin. That's not you. The you is a deep person, a deep identity within you, like some sci-fi movie that comes out. This is a housing. This is a shell. This is a casing. It's a casing you live with a good long time and deeply, deeply impacts who you are. Your spirit, your state of mind, your mood, your abilities. The two are wedded to one another. He says, for the time that my body is hosting my soul, I have to replenish it. I have to maintain it. I have to be a caretaker. A lot of people who are very, very driven, and again, it's more pronounced in women because there's a selflessness that females have that males have a harder time recreating. You're just so committed to others and your instincts are so selfless that you basically deplete yourself in the process of trying to give to as many people as possible, and you reach a stage where there's just nothing left inside and you're just so worn and so exhausted, not just physically but mentally and emotionally, by giving and giving and giving, that you just run out of gas in a literal level and you have to refill your tank. And that's where you need to. And it's very hard for very, very noble people to take that step back because it feels selfish. and it feels like I'm serving myself, and that's not what I want to be doing. I want to be cutting myself to the bone and serving as many other people as I can, and I want to be as big a Baal Chesed as possible. And to a degree, that's right. I mean, if you're looking for three words to remember one day when you become a father and a parent, I can reduce successful fathering and successful husbanding to three words: I come last. If you remember that mantra, you'll be a great father and a great husband. It's hard. Can you be the person that serves every single need as best you can in your family? And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs, so to speak, and whatever needs you have, a little more food, a little more sports, a little less sports, they'll take care of it if and when you have time. So that's certainly a way in which I can lead your life in theory. But you have to reach the point where you realize, but now I need to take care of myself. I need to sleep. I need to work out. I need to eat. I need to nurture myself, nurse myself, provide some depth to myself. So that's what Hillel was telling his Talmidim. And in many ways, it was very synchronous with what Benazai said, because you have your own cell in Elohim. You're not going to feel compassion for yourself. It's hard to feel compassion for yourself. Compassion is normally when you see someone else's experience, you sympathize with them. So Benazai's chesed extended to two beneficiaries as you wouldn't have thought of through a Bikivas chesed. But again, I don't want you to think that you should start with Benazai, but the next time you're performing a chesed, see if you can lock into this next layer, this next level. It's not just or first or only the suffering that person's enduring, but this person has unlimited divine potential. And I want to try to replenish what has been lost. And that's what scales chesed. I think these extra layers scale chesed, because if it's just compassion, I'll help you out until you're not suffering anymore. But I'm trying to replenish divine opportunity. The scales are different because you have so much opportunity. And it's being so wasted by whatever ravages of this world impede your way. So all of a sudden, it's not just making sure you're no longer suffering. It's basically partnering with Hashem to recreate all of that divine potential. Did you get a question?
Yeah. So with that, I'm just wondering, sometimes I feel like when you receive chesed, or when you give chesed, the receiver feels the sense of indebtedness to you because you've given so much of yourself to them. How would you say you approach that the best way? Like, do you like kind of mask yourself behind like that you didn't give the chesed, or do you just try to make that person feel the best?
But I don't think you should. I mean, if I'm understanding your implicit question, maybe if I tell the person I'm not doing it for you, I'm doing it for Hashem, it may make the person feel less. I don't think that's healthy. So that could come off as very, very depersonalizing and very cocky, and it's not for you, it's for myself. I would, in terms of strategizing to make the person feel less indebted, it's a question of so much of growth and maturity is learning your various emotions and learning yourself, and learning communication, and learning how to convey. And that's a moment for you to convey as best you can vulnerability. That person feels that you're invulnerable, and you're invincible, and you're standing up on some high perch delivering charity, and to my lowly state of mind and lowly state of being, it can become very hierarchical and even patronizing. Whereas if that person gets a sense that you're helping because you also feel fragile, and you also feel delicate, and you also, so much of growing up entitled, and I'm sure a lot of people in this room grow up entitled, not knowing your background and which house you grew up in, but you come from very wealthy communities. So you're not spoiled like Americans are, because Americans just have so many resources. You just walk down the street and everything you need. So there's a certain sense of everything's coming to me. But you're buffered from the reality of life, which reminds you of the delicacy and the fragility of the human condition. It's like a buffer. And certainly the boys in South Africa, you understand what I mean, living a buffered life. It's literal. 10 kilometers down the road, people are living in huts and suffering for their water, and you're living in the lap of luxury. So the buffer is really schizophrenic and really glaring. But even if it's not as glaring as such, you don't realize how vulnerable your life is. You take things for granted. And the truth is, it's hard to break out of that. I mean, as you grow older, people your age die, people your age suffer, your body starts to break down. So you realize you're not everything you think you are. When you're young, as you should believe, you feel invincible, you feel invulnerable, you feel optimistic, you feel energetic, you feel passionate, you feel vision. These are all great things to feel. But it has to be moderated by the sense of how fragile it all is and how vulnerable we are at our core as human beings, which is why chesed is such a great instrument for reminding yourself of your vulnerability. So those of you, let's say, who have been to hospitals in the past, visiting people in your family or contributing, blowing shofar, it's some people want to avoid those conditions because it reminds them of their vulnerability. They're not comfortable facing their mortality. But it is healthy, and that's why very often, like when I ask boys chesed, and I feel that I'm dealing with a boy who's a little bit too entitled, I say, you know what? I want you to work on your chesed before you come to yeshiva. So he says, okay, I'll deliver food on Shabbos with the local Shabbos food delivery. So no, I mean heart chesed. I mean hospital chesed, ill people chesed, dying people chesed, cancer patients chesed. To a degree, special needs and handicaps can convey that. I feel like Baruch Hashem, this is an environment which is more muted. It's less cocky and less off the rails, because I think every day you walk by, and as I told you before, you're grateful for what you've been given, and you realize how elusive human stability is and how fragile human experience is, and you have that sense of how important life is but how delicate it is. So I think if you can learn that about yourself and then convey that to the person, you can remap the patronism that may emerge, the patriarchal nature of your delivering. So like, we're just in this together, and who knows, you know, you're not going to say it that way. Who knows, I may need it tomorrow, but you can convey to people that you understand that life is fragile, you understand that life is delicate. And then there's a third reason for chesed. I want to finish chesed today. Next week we'll start on Avas Hashem and Mitzvah Hashem. The third reason for chesed is not to relieve a person's suffering and not even to replenish the tzelem elokim, but to a degree, as strange as it sounds, the beneficiary is not just incidental, it's almost irrelevant. At the Yam Suf, everyone said Zekei Levi Anveil. We felt Hashem's presence so deeply that we could actually point to it. Because the word Zeh is typically reserved for palpable interactions that can be pointed to. Zeh Masa HaMenorah. Chodesh HaZeh Lachem, Hashem showed Moshe the moon. Hashem demonstrated an actual menorah to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Yam Suf, Hashem's presence was so concrete that people shouted, Zeh Keli, we see Hashem. Okay, but what happens the next day? You see Hashem, but tomorrow he's not there. So Vianveu is the transition to the next day, but it's a strange word, Vianveu. You say it every day. So there are different meanings to Vianveu, but the Gemara in Shabbos, source number 8, Darshans, Abba Shalom, line 3, Vianveu is a conjugation. Split that word into two. The anvehu is split into anihu. The anvehu anihu. I want to be him. I am him. I was so inspired by seeing him, I don't want to try to be him. How do you be Hashem? That's really hard. There are many, many answers to that question, far beyond this year. But one of the most authentic, successful ways to be like Hashem, because you can't really be like Hashem, you can't even know Hashem, but you can be moral like he's moral. This gets back to what I talked about in Avram's point, to sense that there's a being in this world, and some get it through Torah, and some get it additionally through science and studying your world. Hashem is not just this neutral being who authors a world of science, physics, chemistry. Hashem has skin in the race, so to speak. He wants people to thrive. He wants people to prosper. Halos Hashem kol goyim, hodul Hashem ki tov, ki li olam chazor. He's tov. He's mechal kel chayim b'chesed. And people suffer, and we have to understand why they're suffering. But Hashem, at his root, is tov Hashem. Chanan v'rachom Hashem, tov Hashem lakol, poseh chesedecho maspia lechol chay ratzon. This is a world of teeming life, and somehow it's being supported in some way that boggles the human imagination. We're first discovering how delicate the system of life is, and Hashem supports it all. Well, you can be like Hashem, not by being like him, but by copying his activities. And if Hashem is Chanon, you can be a Chanon. Hashem is compassionate. That's what Abba Shaul says. Source number 8, V'anvehu, hevi domen lo. Ma'u Chanon, afato Chanon v'rachon. So it's almost as if, and that's why this should be the third part of your chesed exchange, but it should be an important part of this fueling of the process. When I'm performing chesed, it's almost as if I'm doing it for me, not for you, which is a harsh statement. I'm saying it intentionally harsh because it's third. Chas v'shalom should be first. But there's an element that says it's not about you. It's about me perfecting my personality, being more like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Talk about the scales of chesed. This renders the scales of chesed infinite. The first motive for chesed essentially maxes out once you're no longer suffering. The second motive for chesed caps off once I know that I've restored your potential. But to be like Hashem, Hashem is infinite chesed, unending chesed. It never ends. So you're a big Baal chesed. You perform chesed for 12, 13 hours. Does Hashem stop after 12 or 13 hours? You've helped someone immeasurably. Does Hashem taper off after he helps you? So the scales change dramatically. And that's why for a Jew, morality and ethics are never, ever relative to social norms. Well, no one in my society acts this way, and no one in my world behaves that way, so let me ramp down moral standards and moral expectations, because after all, in my society, nothing more is expected, and chesed is always contextual and relative. Yes, if you view it through Rabbi Akiva's prism and through Ben Azai's prism, there is a relative nature to chesed. You don't expect more because you live in a world of lower expectations. And your divine possibilities don't need to be expanded because they're limited by the horizons within which you live. But all of a sudden, this shatters all frameworks. I want to be like Hashem. Hashem isn't a function or a product of any context or social framework. Hashem has infinite, objective, absolute values and behaviors. And if you want to be like Hashem, it's almost as if you're not racing against anyone. You're not operating in a particular context. It's just about you and Hashem and molding your persona to be like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Should this be the primary motive? I don't think so. But sometimes it's very helpful. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're in a situation in which you don't think the recipient deserves that much of your chesed. Someone shows up at the door and they've wasted their opportunities. The monies they've collected, they've spent on drugs. They constantly have failed. They're not taking any effort. You have a hard time commiserating with their suffering. Although one could say you should still identify. Remember, I once asked someone whose chesed behavior was very impressive and inspiring to me, and I said, don't you know that many of the people coming to your door for tzedakah don't really need it? And that person told me in a very inspiring fashion, he says, the very fact that they humiliate themselves to walk from door to door and ask for handouts, I want to try to relieve that humiliation. Whatever the reason and the motive is for that person, let's say they have some psychological imbalance, but it's humiliating for them to have to sit there and beg money. I want to try to spare them that process or help them, whatever motive led them to that, whatever need or greed led them to that stage. You could say you're just feeding it, but okay, so that has to be adjusted case-by-case basis. But even if you have a hard time commiserating and identifying at any level, at some point it's not about that person. It's about you. And that shatters all justifications and why should someone else do it or let someone else sympathize. It's not. There's a spotlight on you. You have an opportunity to fashion your persona like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and here's your chance. And if you fail, you fail. And you'll be the victim of your failure, so to speak, more than the potential beneficiary who is deprived of resources because of your failed chesed. It's about you and a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the clock is ticking on you. So it's a good example to show you two things. This whole discussion of chesed. Number one, how so much of Avodas Hashem is not making change of action and behavior, but change of motive and framework. I'm sure every single person in this room is a Baal Chesed. You're all kind. You're all raised to be involved in selfless activities. Obviously, you can change and try to improve that. But now can you perform your chesed, but as an Oved Hashem, because I'm trying to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I'm respecting Tzelem Elokim, because I know Hashem has instructed this. So you can be a better Oved Hashem simply by framing what you're doing with a slightly different tonality. Number two, how layering experiences lends depth and resilience and durability. So now you have three things to think about when you perform chesed, and each of these can be subdivided into more subtle and nuanced differences. It shouldn't blur the hierarchy. I would be very, very uncomfortable if the first thing you thought of is, well, I don't care, and but it's about me. That's very self-serving. It's very egotistical. It can't be about you. You have to decentralize yourself in chesed. But I think there are moments in which that reflexive role of fashioning and sculpting your persona is helpful. And even within chesed, just to be aware of that, I'm involved in something larger than this particular delivery of help and assistance and the particular alleviation of distress. I'm involved in something much larger than myself, and I want to be drawn to that and be very, very committed to that. So it's a good opportunity. I don't think this was revolutionary. Oh, we now hear the Shiron Chesed. Let's all go to this in Chesed. You were Bali Chesed beforehand. It's sophistication, it's depth, it's variety and diversity and versatility to be able to perform Chesed in different contexts. And it's creating a framework to envelop and to cloak what you do anyway, but to perform it maybe with different verve and passion and certainly with different mindset and consciousness, then now this is part of my newly minted identity that I'm an Oved Hashem. Think about that over the next couple of days. What else can your newly minted identity of an Oved Hashem now incorporate that you'd be doing anyway? Remember the example I gave of being a good counselor in camp just because a lot of Americans are living. You would have done it anyway. But now you're doing it and you're incorporating it as part of, because Hashem wants it, it's an Avodas Hashem. And to a degree, that's the healthiest form of religion. When there are experiences you would do anyway because they're natural to who you are as a human being, and now you're doing it as Hashem wants. And most of the mitzvahs are that way. You wouldn't cheat, you wouldn't steal, you wouldn't drink blood, you wouldn't commit adultery. But when you do them, it's not just because there's something inside of you that finds it vile and revolting, but also because Hashem's will is better served. Okay? Stop here. Next week, I'll be Hashem.